This is Ozarks at Large. Tomorrow is Dr. Compton Day at Compton Gardens in Bentonville from 9 to 1. The celebration will include all kinds of events, including the unveiling of a new neon Dr. Compton sign and interactive stations organized by several groups, including the Ozark Society, the Buffalo River Foundation, and more. Dr. Compton Day is named for Neil Compton, a founder of the Ozark Society and one of the most important figures in saving the Buffalo River from being dammed decades ago. And, by the way, you can also see art inspired by Neil Compton, the last work that was ever created by David Easterly. Dr. Compton's letter rack was commissioned by Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art and completed earlier this year. The work, in limewood, commemorates Neil Compton's life with wood-carved objects like a camera and a Save the Buffalo River banner. That piece is located in the niche, a corner of the Early American Art Gallery at Crystal Bridges, that can be found behind the We the People artwork at the beginning of the gallery. Dr. Neil Compton came to our show back in 1992 to discuss his role in saving the Buffalo River and his then new book, The Battle for the Buffalo River. During our conversation, he told me about his first ever trip to the Buffalo. His relationship with the river was not exactly love at first sight.
My first experience on the Buffalo came about through a Methodist preacher in our hometown named Stan Hayden. And he was raised over in that country and he wanted to go on a float. And back in those days, they didn't do it like they do now. He went over there and bought a John boat, a new one, which was heavy as lead, for $5. And we floated the river for 3 days and left it. We didn't bother about trying to take it home with us. And when we got down to the far end, we were sunburned and we were tired and we were sore. And I wasn't inspired to go back and do that again, just to tell you the truth.
And then, after World War II, you came back, and it became apparent to you that the Buffalo was something special.
Well, I became more acquainted with it then because arriving back from the conflict we'd all been in, a desire to see the scenery here in the Ozarks, and realizing that it is magnificent, much better than we'd all been led to believe who grew up here. And the Buffalo country was probably the most stunning. My first trip through Boxley Valley, and then familiarizing ourselves with the Buffalo. We didn't do a lot of floating on it then because we didn't know how, but we would learn. Good canoes weren't available till about 1952, the good Grumman aluminum canoe and all that. And then we had to get with some people who knew how to do it, and when we did, it was a great reward to see the beautiful waters of the Buffalo.
Now, it was one thing to enjoy the Buffalo, but at a certain point, you discovered that you were going to have to do something to keep the Buffalo the way it was.
Well, we didn't think that was going to happen because they'd already had the big dams on the North Fork and on the White River, and it just didn't seem reasonable anybody wanted to do this. But they were getting short of rivers to dam, and so this was going to be the one. And they proposed two flood control dams, one at Lone Rock and one at Gilbert. The Lone Rock Dam would have been 200 feet high, would have backed water all the way up to the 65 bridge. And in dry weather, whenever it was drawn down to accommodate the the expected floods and all, it would have been 27 miles of that valley would have been exposed. Then when it come a big rain, all that would fill up, and it's just like a bathtub situation. The dam at Gilbert would have put water all the way back up to the Highway 7 bridge. And so this was a most regrettable program, we thought, for that river.
So you had to organize, and you all were learning.
Well, we really started off, organization just kind of progressed by steps. And the first thing that happened really was the fact that a fellow by the name of Vantis Green, or Bud Green, who was the chief of publicity for Arkansas Parks back in 1946 and 7 along there, had gotten into Cobb Cave, one of the canyons that opened into the upper Buffalo, and he named it Lost Valley. It stuck. And he's the one that said that there should be a national park in that part of Arkansas, that our scenery was that good. Some of us that had been there knew that it was true. We didn't start anything right then because we didn't know where to go exactly. But when we found out that these dams were going to be built, this was be downstream, you understand. We were trying to do something to preserve Lost Valley and keep it from being damaged. And the idea came that, well, we could just tie it all together and save the river and Lost Valley all at the same time. Now, a lot of the work, the earlier work, was done by Ken Smith, who's still around. And we didn't know just what to do. We thought we would maybe, become a part of the Sierra Club. But the Sierra Club wasn't very interested in Arkansas. You know, they're looking for bigger stuff than what they thought we had. And besides, their fees were pretty high. We just decided we'd form an organization of our own. We called it the Ozark Society to Save the Buffalo. And we just happened to be lucky. One of the first things we did in 1961 was to contact Senator Fulbright, suggesting maybe that the national park idea for this river would be a good thing. And he thought it was too. And he sent down an inspection team to look at the buffalo in October 1961. And I was privileged to get to go along with them. They saw they saw both ends of it, actually. But I was with them on the upper end of it. And they said after they had seen it, this is the best we've seen. And that really let us know that we had something to offer with this idea. And of course then it proceeded through a long, torturous history, which is recorded in the volume we've just been talking about.
And it almost seems something of a Frank Capra movie. I mean, here were some people who at the start knew nothing but their love of this river and this land up against some pretty well organized and pretty influential folks.
You don't need to say the Corps of Engineers were pretty well organized. They were organized. They had the power of Congress behind them, and they had the benediction of Jim Trimble, who was had been in Congress at that time 18 years or so, and one of the most powerful men in Congress. It was almost an impossibility, but the breaks came to us.
One of those breaks came when then-Governor Orville Faubus announced his opposition to the proposed dams on the Buffalo. It was core policy to abandon projects in a state when those projects were not supported by the state's governor. But Faubus was leaving office soon, and members of the Ozark Society began to worry if his successor would support the dams and open the way for the project once again. And meanwhile, Congressman Jim Trimble still supported the dams. Neil Compton says Senator Fulbright would not author a bill starting the mill rolling to make the Buffalo a national river while Trimble still supported the dams. And not many people gave a Harrison Republican named John Paul Hammerschmidt much of a chance to defeat the 11-term congressman. But with Trimble defeated, Senator Fulbright was able to place his national park bill into the Senate, eventually clearing the way for the national river designation, which includes 95,000 acres and 128 miles of river. Still, Neil Compton says there are still other sites not yet protected.
So when it's all over, we couldn't have asked for more, really. Of course, I can think of a lot of beautiful places that got left out and that are not being used for anything particularly, and I'd hope future generations will recognize this, and those interesting places can be added on as the years go by.
Yeah, you mentioned that Marble Falls was not included.
Well, Marble Falls got wiped out. You see, at the time all this went on, it had gone back to nature. It had been a center for milling. I mean, there was a mill there. They used the waterfall as a power site for that.
A big waterfall, too.
Yes, it was. It really was. But at that time, this would be in the 1930s, 40s, and 50s, everything was gone, and there wasn't anything there except the waterfall. And a real estate developer decided he would put in a thing he called Dog Patch. Of course, this was an old cartoon, and Al Capp had drawn it for years, and they got him down here, and he gave his benediction for that, and they put in Dog Patch. And of course, this ruined any possibility for it to be part of the national park. But there are many other places, really. One of them I would like to talk about is what we call a penitentiary, which was a deep and most scenic canyon in the upper Buffalo, right next to Lost Valley. The next big ravine next to Lost Valley and it has a freestanding limestone bluff that is fluted on one side where water used to run down over it, and which is perforated in the middle with a hole through it. And the reason they call it penitentiary is because of the fact that it's so hard to get in it, and once you get in it, you can't get out of it.
Dr. Neil Compton speaking with Ozarks at Large in 1992 about his then-new book, The Battle for the Buffalo River. Tomorrow is Dr. Compton Day at Compton Gardens in Bentonville. You can find out more at the Compton Gardens and Conference Center Facebook page. And you can learn more about David Easterly's artwork inspired by Dr. Compton that's at Crystal Bridges Museum of American Art by searching the Crystal Bridges website. This is Ozarks at Large.